My name is Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
We're here to talk about queer women in movies.
Yeah, and today we're talking about duck butter.
Duck butter, which is even grosser than it sounds. 2018 movie.
Yep. Director was Miguel Arteta, I believe.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
And the writers were...
Alia Shawkat, our favorite.
Yep. And that one. Yeah. Shawkat. I was starring Alia Shawkat. Laya Costa. And Mae Whitman was on as
I
the...
know. Well, she was... Do you see her in there? She was best friend.
Yeah. I wouldn't say she's, like, starring.
Oh, though. No. Definitely not.
But that's what it... She's, like, the third cat. Third person build, I guess.
Oh, interesting. I guess it is mostly just the two of them.
Yeah. Which makes sense, given the... synopsis of this movie.
Yeah, totally.
I actually texted you. When was it? I don't know. Sometime
last night.
Yeah, earlier this week. And oh, I was I just looked up the synopsis for Duck Butter, and oh my god, this is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And interesting it was. But on the Mae Whitman note, I'm kind of just here for Mae Whitman and Alia Shawkat's real life friendship. They've been in so many things together.
Oh really?
They were in Arrested Development together. And when they were little kids, they were in this show that was ABC Family or something, which I think is Freeform now.
Yeah.
And it was called State of Grace. And I loved that show so much when I was younger.
I do remember that, actually. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, Mae Whitman's done some awesome things
she's really
career.
Cool.
Yeah. She's super cool.
They're both really cool. I like that they're friends.
Yeah. Have you seen Good Girls?
Oh, I'm not caught up on it. I've seen the first few episodes.
Yeah, I'm not caught up either, but she's really good in that.
Yeah.
Show. Yeah, I really like it.
And she has a non-binary kid.
For real? In real life?
No, in the show.
Oh, yes.
I don't know anything about her real life.
No, neither do
I. I don't
do
think
I.
she has kids, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I totally forgot about her child in that.
Yeah.
In that show.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Now that we've declared our love for Mae Whitman and Alia Shawkat, who was
awesome.
Also in the last movie we reviewed.
Yes, The Runaways.
Mm-hmm.
We have a theme, we stick to it.
Yeah.
This is our theme.
We follow Alia Shawkat everywhere.
So anyway, the synopsis of this movie, at least what Google has to say, is two women, jaded by dishonest and broken relationships, make a pact to spend 24 uninterrupted hours together having sex on the hour.
Well, yes, that's kind of a simplified synopsis.
Yeah.
But
there was more to it.
There was more, but not that much more.
No, that is that's the basis.
Actually, there was a lot more.
There was a lot more.
But yeah, the way I understood it was they wanted to have an entire relationship in 24 hours.
That's a good way to put it, because they do talk a lot about relationships in general and what they don't like about dating and relationships and I guess how to combat that. And I guess it would be fun to do that until it's not.
Well, that's what they think.
Yeah, that's what they think. And
right.
It's until it's not fun.
It gets very unfun.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
It was so funny. So I read that and I was oh my god, that sounds like something I would do. just for kicks.
And I would listen to all your stories about it afterwards.
But then I was no, I would have to have a rule in there that's I need to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a thing. It's a thing. Because, so Alia Shawkat's character is named Naima, but...
Nima.
Yeah.
That's her nickname.
Nickname Nima. She keeps trying to sleep or falling asleep, but Sergio keeps waking her up, being you can't sleep.
Yeah.
And that's the first of many humongous red flags with Sergio.
Yeah, this movie was it's, you kind of, I feel you go along with the characters in a sense of oh my god, this is going to be really funny. And and then you're oh.
Yeah.
This is not funny.
That's what you texted me last night, because you started watching
it.
I think I was ahead of you. I was an hour ahead.
Yeah.
And you were this movie is, I like this so far. And then 10 minutes later, you were oh.
Yeah. And it was I did have to take a break from this movie, and not because of anything. It's not at all about the film. I just wanted to make sure that I had enough focus for it, and I didn't lose focus and just start dicking around on my phone.
That's pretty much exactly what I did, so yeah. I might not have as much to say about the end of it, because, well, the very end, I was, like, paying attention again, because it was kind of intense.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I just, anyway. Yeah, but I'm glad I did take that break, because, like, I texted you, mm-hmm. and I was like, this is the hardest part about this podcast, is that, like, because we try not to talk to each other about the movie until then, because we don't want to lose, like, quality content, TM. trademark quality content. So I was saying, like, yeah, this is the hardest part, and I wanted to kind of, like, have someone to talk about it mm-hmm. with, but I couldn't. But now I am, so whatever.
Yeah. That time is now. Unfortunately, yeah. It meant you had to take a break so that you did it.
I did.
Yeah. And I should have, but I just kind of ignored it for a little while while it was still playing.
The first thing about this movie that I thought was strange was that there are people in this movie that are playing themselves.
Yeah, the Duplass brothers.
Yep.
Camille Nanjiani.
Yep. And I don't know who the character of Lindsay was. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that actress and if that is her real name or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, I'm super confused right now.
Yeah. So it starts out really meta because Naima is an actor.
Yeah.
And she is on her way to this job. It's like her first big job, and it's a Duplass Brothers movie, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Where she is playing, like, the friend or whatever, and Camille Nanjiani is there, and so they're playing themselves, but, like, Alia Shawkat is playing a different character who's, like, in this movie with them, so that was funny. Plus, she was also listening to a podcast about, like, filmmaking on her way to
them. And it was them, I think.
I think it was,
I think it was them.
I'm not a fan of the Duplass Brothers, I have to say.
Jay, I believe his name is.
Mm-hmm. The one who's in Transparent.
Yeah, he's in Transparent, but I didn't recognize him as being, like, part of the brothers until, like,
neither.
I saw his face and I was like, you idiot.
Yeah, same. Maybe it's because in Transparent, his character is, like, the hugest self-obsessed douchebag. I just hate him so much that as soon as I see him anywhere, I'm like, I hate you.
Yeah, I immediately got feelings of Josh.
Yeah.
From Transparent, and I was like, oh, God, get this fucking ass
beat. Yeah, me. Like, I can't believe you're in this movie. Go away.
Go away. But Kumail Nanjiani, oh, my God. Have you seen The Big Sick?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Mm. But actually, speaking of sort of, not really speaking of The Big Sick, but the other person who's in The Big Sick, what's her name? The girl?
I don't know her name, actually.
Oh, shoot. Anyway.
We can look it up on the internet.
Sure. But she played another person. It was like this other movie where this man writer was like writing about a girl and then she like came to life.
Ooh.
Do you remember that? She became like, and then she was a total manic pixie dream girl, which is why I was thinking.
Zoe Kazan.
I actually like her.
Let's see, what movie was she in? Ruby Sparks?
Yes, that's what it looks like. Ruby Sparks with Zoe Kazan. I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
But she plays...
watching it.
She plays a manic pixie dream girl, which is exactly how I saw Sergio in this movie.
Actually,
like,
absolutely.
She's very much, like, makes decisions...
On a whim,
like, very much driven by emotion, which isn't a bad thing in and of itself, but it's kind of extreme. It's, like, it's manic, basically.
Yeah. It is super confusing because I just don't know how to, like, relate to her at all.
And the more I saw of her, the less I could relate to her.
The less I wanted to.
Right.
I kind of started losing some empathy, and
me too.
I feel like that.
I did really relate to Naima, though.
Yeah.
Because oh, go ahead.
This is so funny. This, almost the whole movie, I said, she reminds me so much of Sarah.
Really? Yeah. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, it was absolutely a compliment. I really like her character. You know,
she
a
has
very
so much
version of yourself.
Oh, well, she has version. So much anxiety about the world, and I really related to that. Like, she couldn't calm down enough to, like, kind of be present a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's me. Yeah. Like 100%. Like every time she hears a news story about like climate change
that's
or whatever.
Exactly.
She just like gets really depressed, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, me too, girl."
Yeah. I mean, you're not a Debbie Downer or anything, but I thought it was so funny. I thought it was so funny. Like, I could see you doing this. Like, there's a scene in the beginning of the movie where she's at a bar. She's wingman for her friend Ellen, who's, you know, on a date.
Yeah.
And she's talking with a bunch of baby boomers about global warming. And I was like, for some reason, I could see Sarah doing this.
I had the same thought. I was like, I can see me doing that. Except no hot Spanish girl comes up to ask me to dance.
Yeah, in order exactly. To, like, she's like, you need to get away. And they're all like, the baby boomers are telling her, like, can you please, like, go live your life?
Yeah.
Just, like, go dance with this girl. Yeah. It was so funny. But I thought that moment was very sweet and pure. Mm-hmm. And it was a good start to the movie. In
yeah.
A sense of, like, you know, you're on this journey with them. Mm-hmm. And it starts off sweet and doesn't end that way.
No.
But, yeah, I think, looking back, it's a good beginning to it.
Yeah, because it does have that sweetness to it that kind of gets you invested
yeah.
in what's happening, even though I lost that by the end. But,
oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, like, Sergio, she's a singer, but she's not very good. But she's singing.
Yeah, she's not.
Yeah.
I mean,
not to judge anyone's singing voice, but I think that's the point.
Yeah, she kind of, like, talk sings.
Yeah.
And it's confusing to me. Like, I don't know
why she...
I can't sing, so...
Yeah, I know, me either, so I really shouldn't sing. But I think the point, like, it was supposed to be a point in the movie that, like, she wasn't that good, but she just had a lot of, like, gutsiness,
yeah,
just kind of stand up there, passion, yeah.
Yeah, we do get that kind of manic pixie mm-hmm. element to her from
her
first performance.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the first time we see her, is,
yeah,
like, performing.
So she walks out on stage and she says, this is the first song I've written in English.
Yeah.
And it really makes, like, no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
She kind of makes these, like, really hard rhymes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And it doesn't seem like her.
That's a good point.
You know, it seems like too simplistic, and then she realizes the crowd isn't feeling it, so she
But it's
just
not
starts...
just, it's not just the words, it's like also her singing itself is kind of like, people are like, okay, well.
Yeah, it's not entertaining.
Yeah. And no one's heckling her or anything.
No, no, no.
But they're just like not that into it.
They're just like, alright, yeah, whatever, and then she just gets off stage and starts making out with the audience members.
Yeah.
Is...
She's like, I'm gonna come down
kinda
there
funny.
And kiss you.
Yeah. And which got them riled up and
yeah.
got them interested, which
yeah,
is like...
Yeah, I mean, it served its purpose for sure.
Yeah, it's what you want when
yeah.
you're an entertainer.
Yeah. And it caught Nima's eye.
Yeah, she was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
yeah, so they end up, like, just hanging out. After.
Yeah, they go back with Sergio's other lesbian friends, and then they're all singing around the campfire. Oh, there's a guy there, too. Who's that guy? The guy
it,
who's playing the guitar.
It literally said in the subtitles, like,
oh, did?
Male friend.
Oh,
it wasn't even, so I don't even think he's named.
Yeah, well, he's not very important. He just plays guitar for a minute.
Yeah.
But
they, like, riff, and they have
yeah.
this, like, really fun time, just, mm-hmm. like, yeah, riffing.
And Mima's actually a good singer, and so Sergio, like, looks at her like, oh, intriguing.
Do you think she's, like, jealous of
I was
that?
Just thinking that as I said it. I was like, I wonder if she's jealous, because now that I'm thinking about her face
same.
In that scene... I could definitely see it.
Yeah, because she looks at her, like, so amazed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, maybe, like, the rest of her behavior as well in the mm-hmm. film. Maybe some of it stems from that.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Man, so many gay holes. No.
I mean, we could go into the fact that this movie is very heavily, like, saturated with body fluid stuff. Like, body waste and body... stuff like
anything
that.
You can think of.
Yeah.
Anything.
And that's what
duck
butter is, apparently, which I didn't know.
Anything you don't want to think of. Well, she, like, equates it to, like, the real culinary duck butter.
But I looked up duck butter on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, no.
And it was, like, what Nima was describing, like, this smegma stuff.
Oh.
I mean, for, like, a slang term, obviously, on
yeah,
Urban Dictionary.
Obviously.
But,
that's
yeah.
so funny, because...
I wonder if it's only that because of this movie.
I don't know.
No, probably not.
We'd have to look at the
yeah.
thing. But I remember Nicki Minaj had a song called Truffle Butter. And my boss's kid was like obsessed with her at the time, uh-huh. and was like, I don't know what the hell she's talking about. And I'm, like,
she's got fancy taste.
Like, yeah, it's just like butter that's like infused with truffles or whatever. So she just like looked it up, not even knowing where Urban Dictionary was, uh-huh. and she was 11 at the time, and was like shocked and started bawling, and it was just
What is it? I don't even know what it is. Is this something for not the podcast? Is it like so bad that we can't even talk about it on the podcast?
It's
okay.
You can look it up.
I'll look it up.
I'll tell you right now. Beep.
Oh, lovely. That's great.
So I just told Sarah what truffle butter was.
I mean, I'm not that shocked.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's pretty gross, though.
So here's a mystery element for you guys. I'm going to cut that out. You can look it up. the thing that this movie actually reminded me of... what's the one you hate? Below Her Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense of all the storytelling. But this is, like, a better version of it.
You mean, like, when they...
Like, the shitty exposition in Below Her
Mouth.
Right,
yes.
This was better.
Yeah, well, there was more of it, and it made more sense.
Yeah, it made more sense. Because interspersed with the sex in this movie are obviously, like, they're trying to get to know each other. They're trying to get to have a relationship in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Oh, why?
Yeah, only Sergio would suggest such a thing.
Yeah, so they talk about exes, gay. Mm-hmm. They talk about their family, gayer.
The family thing to be a real...
That's super strange to me.
I was confused.
I was confused as well.
Maybe not confused. I mean, I understood what was going on, but...
I'm not sure why. It was real weird. Yeah.
Like, not to judge anyone's familiar relationships, but, like, Sergio and her mom, it was... I didn't understand her mom.
Her mom is not a typical mother.
Nope.
Like, she goes by Susanna, which is her real name.
That's not so weird. I know people who call their parents by their first name.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, that's not so weird. That's not the weird part. I just meant, like, she's not a mother in the sense that I don't think she ever really wanted to be a mother. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Well, she kind of
Sergio has this whole story. Oh, go ahead.
She just kind of treats her kids like adults.
Yeah. Well, and does she have more kids than Sergio?
Sorry, her kid.
Oh, okay. I wasn't I wasn't sure if she mentioned siblings. I can't remember.
I don't think she does.
No.
But yeah, she treats her kid like she's an adult.
And yeah. It's even at 4 years
at
old
4 years
when
old.
She left her in the street for some reason.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, you can teach kids lessons in other less damaging ways.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably really traumatic for her and probably why she has a lot of, I don't know, abandonment issues.
Yeah. Oh, serious abandonment issues.
Yeah.
To the point where it's really disturbing.
Disturbing.
Yeah.
So disturbing. Yeah, so eventually they make this pact, but they don't go through with it at first.
Right. Well, they kind of make the pact at first.
Yeah.
And then immediately Nima's like, but I have to go to work on Monday, so that won't work.
Yeah, because she's responsible.
Right.
And she's like...
And Sergio is so upset.
Yeah, she's so pissed.
It's and like it's you've like, known this girl for what, like an hour?
Yeah, barely, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever,
half of
an evening, yeah.
Barely, yeah. But Naima gets fired from her job, and she kind of, like, rides around all day, and we don't really know what happens, but we know by the time she goes to Sergio's house, apartment, whatever, I don't know how they fucking have houses, but, she decides that she'll do this pact if Sergio's okay with it.
Yeah.
Which she's not really in the beginning.
No. She paints eyes on her front door and then closes it.
Yeah.
And Nima's like, can I come in? And she's like, no. But then she says, I'm working in the backyard.
Yeah.
So then Nima goes around to the backyard. It's so stupid.
So many mixed signals
in
this film, and it's unsettling. It gets progressively more unsettling.
Yes.
They do have some interesting talks, like... And yelling at the moon about how beautiful
that was
Nima
cute.
That was cute. That was very cute.
Yeah.
They talk about the first time they ever masturbated, which I think is funny.
Yeah. Because the first time they had sex, it was mutual masturbation, I think.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. Yeah, I put that.
I'm pretty sure because just the way they were positioned.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it looked like. And another manic pixie moment for Sergio is like when she's outside and I don't know if it's when they're still like deciding if they should do this mm-hmm. or not, but basically Sergio's like, you should do what you want to do and what makes you like happy, essentially. Yeah. Like, and you should only do that.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking like, you know, some people gotta eat, and like
I was thinking the same thing.
You gotta do shit that you don't want to do, and I'm like, I don't know her background, but clearly she lives in like a nice house.
Yeah, she has a yard.
Yes, she has a yard.
And she lives alone, apparently.
Yeah, house with a yard.
Yeah. In Los Angeles.
Yeah, like this is so unrealistic.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and she also looks like she's 12. She could not be that old.
And she's clearly not like a super good singer, right. So I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
I
actually thought
I would assume that like her mom is like funding her, but yeah. Also I don't know that for a fact. It doesn't go into that.
No, it's not explained.
Yeah.
But I did kind of think about like the movie job that Naima got fired from.
Mm-hmm.
And then like how like the conversation she had with her agent about when it's an indie and it's like limited time and budget and it doesn't work out on the first day. Like
they just have to make a decision.
Yeah. So they're going to replace you. And she was really upset, obviously. And then I started thinking about how like capitalism makes humans dispensable. And then I thought to
myself, you're having a Naima moment.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, I'm just as insufferably millennial as these two girls. So then I decided not to think about that anymore. Just watch the movie.
This is so funny. Whatever.
Speaking of meta. Anyway.
Yeah, so they also talk about how, about men in their lives.
Yeah.
Specifically men they've, like, dated. Sergio talks about how she did some, I guess, sex work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's a girlfriend for a man who is producing her record, mm-hmm. and he produces it for, like, 3 months, so she's been... She was with him for 3 months mm-hmm. and is his girlfriend. And,
yeah.
You know, she doesn't really want to be, but she definitely wants that record.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Naima had a writer she really looked up to.
Yeah.
And she, like, wrote to him. And then she was in... They wrote to each other.
Yeah.
And she was in New York City or something where he lived. Something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, told her to come over right away. And I don't know.
Yeah, they had sex, yeah. And it was, like, really terrible. But she has this whole, I guess, speech about power and, like, how it was no longer attractive. Like, it wasn't an attractive opportunity anymore because mm-hmm. she felt like she had the power over him. Like, oh, she wanted...
That must have,
like,
been a part where I kind of took that.
I thought it was interesting. And again, looking back... Noticing how kind of, you know, messed up the characters in this movie are in terms of their relationships with people and how mm-hmm. unhealthy they are mm-hmm. because Naima seems to need kind of like a chase or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't get that with Sergio either. She doesn't really mm-hmm. get much of a chase.
No.
Because Sergio is very clingy. And, like,
that's putting it mildly.
Needs to be around Naima all the time. Yeah. She says stuff like, I want to see you take a shit. Yeah. I want to see you, like...
And Naima goes to the bathroom a lot in this movie.
Just to get away from her.
Yeah. And then the dog follows her. That was another thing I related to.
Yes!
Like, not a super pet person.
And she was like...
If a dog was looking at me while I peed, I would also be like, go away.
And she's, like, kind of scared of him at first. And
yeah.
She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Get out of here. And I'm like, you know, if you shut the door, maybe that would help.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, anyway. I thought that was super funny. So, Naima tells Sergio at some point, like, close to early morning, I would say probably, like, 4 a.m. or something, that she had gotten fired that morning, or, you know, yesterday morning. And Sergio's super pissed about it. Why do you think she is?
Because, well, she realizes that's the reason that Naima came back over.
Do you feel like she thinks she's being used or something?
I mean, that's kind of the impression I got.
Okay.
But
I wasn't sure if, like, that was it, or she was kind of feeling like it wasn't a genuine experience or something. It's not like Nima had to go to work and, like, woke up and was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do whatever I want.
Yeah. Actually, that makes more sense. I think that would be more in character for her.
I think it's probably both, but, like, at a, I don't know.
Yeah, well.
I just liked how she changed the sheets angrily. Like, she needed, I don't know.
Like, really angrily.
Really angrily. Like, making a bed already makes me sweat. That would have made me sweat more.
Let's say. How do they have houses? I agree, because Naima lives in, like, a huge house by herself. They, like, beautiful kitchen.
That's explained because her dad is, like, in real estate, she says.
See, I really should have taken a break like you did, because I missed some stuff.
Yeah, she says, like, she said something like, are you judging me for having such a nice house? And she was like, my dad gave a house to each of us because he, like, had invested in real estate or whatever. Which is, like,
sweet deal.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
But at least it's explained.
Yeah.
There's so many films where it's, like, below her mouth. It's like, well, then again, I don't know. She had a business. And I'm sure roofing is lucrative.
Yeah. We just couldn't figure out how she could possibly, like, manage her own business.
Yeah. This happens in, like, but it's just a Hollywood thing. Like,
yeah, it's true.
Their
yeah.
living accommodations have to look really nice.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's not the case.
No.
Like, I rent a room.
Yeah, right? I rent a closet and I pay $1,200 a month.
Right? It's, like, the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, in any city, there's no way.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It's not like Los Angeles is cheap.
Yeah. But they find out, like, I think after that fight, basically, that her, or Sergio's mom is coming over.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have said that maybe in the beginning.
I know.
But she's, again, like, she kind of, like, flies by the seat of her pants.
Yeah.
So she doesn't
there's
like
some kind of showcase she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so her mom's coming for that.
But she comes for, like, breakfast, too, and it's just, like,
yeah, and because Sergio's house is such a mess, Naima's, like, because they've been, like, fucking in it all the time, and, like, just making a mess, with doing other stuff, too, like, making art or whatever. Naima's, like, well, why don't we just invite her to my place? Like, it's as clean as a hotel, because I barely live there.
Yeah.
And I have food. And so they decide to do that. And the mom, okay, Sergio flips the fuck out over a hairbrush, which, I don't know. That just, it was like, I was just so annoyed with Sergio at this point.
I think it's
like, get over yourself.
It's a good representation of her, like, anxiety, though. But
honestly, she could have bipolar or something.
But the thing that was strange is that she doesn't say anything before her mom comes to indicate that, like, they have a really terrible relationship or anything like that. She says she talks to her mom every day.
Yeah, it's weird because she's obviously super stressed about her mom coming.
Yeah.
And she does have that story about leaving her in the street when she was 4. And they do have that scene where they're like, deciding to yell at their parents. Oh, pretending that their parents are there.
Mm-hmm.
And she does say, when she's, like, yelling at her quote-unquote mom, who's, like, not there, but they're pretending to yell at their parents.
Yeah.
She's like, you're a fucking terrible mother. She does yell that.
Oh, okay.
So
I was mostly focusing on Nima.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both yelling over
each other. Yeah, they're yelling at the same time, so it's like,
well, I'm glad you focused on Sergio.
So, yeah, you get that, but when Susanna, that's her name, right? Her mom?
So, yeah.
She shows up, and she actually looks like kind of like an older, like, matronly type of person, and they hug each other, and they act really happy to see each other for, like, a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're eating gnocchi for breakfast, because that's all they had.
Because Sergio, Nima didn't actually have any breakfast
for And Susanna's just like, it's so different for you. Like, when I was young, we just all fucked in the woods and thought it would change the world or something like that.
Yeah, there's, like, a festival or something in spring where they, like, have sex in the field, like an orgy in the field.
Because it's the orgy thing, and then they try to have an orgy. Okay.
They'll think it'll make the grass, like, grow or something, or, like, I don't know, something like that. It's something
some
that's
kind
been,
of fertilization.
Like, yeah, it's been, like, passed down, not passed down. I don't know. It's just a tradition thing. she also says something that sex is so impersonal. It's not like love. And then she says, I hope you're enjoying her.
Yeah.
To Nima. And I was like,
I know. I was like, that you just really hardcore objectified your own daughter when she's sitting right there.
Yeah. And it upsets Sergio so much that her mom won't speak English in front of Nima. And Nima doesn't really seem to, like, mind too much. The thing she cares about is that Sergio's, like, flipping her shit over it.
And I think at this point, Nima's kind of like, how do I get away from this situation? Yeah, they're in my house. Like, what do I do?
Yeah, she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Another thing I thought was super strange was, so Susanna comes back for her iPad or something, and they're in bed.
Oh, yeah.
Nima and Sergio are in bed, and they're just, like, laying down, like, sleeping.
I think they're facing each other.
Yeah, they're facing each other, and basically, Susanna, like, comes in, and she sees them on the bed, and Sergio gives her this look, like, this really pissed-off look, and then she, like, goes to hug her. And, like, she kind of, like, envelops her, Sergio, with her own body.
Yeah.
And then her mom leaves. And it's just kind of, like, it's a really tense, awkward moment.
Yeah. And as far as I remember, no one says anything, right?
No. Yeah. It's completely silent.
Yeah. I don't get it. Why'd she have her iPad there, anyway?
I don't know.
It's weird.
What are you doing?
It's weird.
Pay attention.
Anyway, then Nima tries to go to the bathroom again, and then everything goes to shit, literally.
To shit.
Literally to shit. Okay, we should mention, one of the stories that Sergio tells, like, in the beginning, when Nima is still kind of, like, really into this, and she kind of has starry eyes for Sergio.
Yeah.
Sergio tells the story about how, when she was little and she wanted Susanna's attention, she would poop.
Anywhere.
Anywhere, and then, like, cut it up into sausage, or, like, cut it up into pieces. Oh, my God.
And blame it on the dog.
And they both think this is so funny, like, at first, when they're in the beginning of this experiment.
Like, rage shitting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess that's a real thing she does, because she does it again.
Yeah, she does it again as an adult.
Yeah.
In this film.
Yeah. Because she doesn't... First, she, like, locks Nima in the bathroom.
Yeah.
She tries to follow her in there.
Yeah, and there's this, like, really weird, like, tug and pull and push scene. Yeah. I don't know.
Nima suggested that they try an orgy with the two other lesbian friends.
Yeah.
From the beginning, where they were singing in the yard.
Yeah, and I think it's just because she wanted to, like, do something else. And also kind of get away. I mean, actually, well, later she kind of tries
later
to saddle Sergio with them.
Yeah.
While she can leave or something.
Well, I think she just realizes that she's, like, in over her head.
Yeah.
She doesn't actually want these things.
Yeah.
And then she just leaves. But anyway, Sergio is, like, I don't know, but she's weirded out by the fact that Nima suggested this. And I think that's why she follows her to the bathroom and, like, won't let her go.
Yeah, but even, like, before, I think it's before anyway, when Nima's just like, I have to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I have to pee. Sergio, like, won't let her out of the bed. And she keeps, like, holding on to her and holding on to her feet to the point where, like, Nima has to, like, kick her off of her. And it's like,
Point where I kind of got scared.
Yeah, so
I was like, I'm afraid of Sergio. Like, what is she going to do?
Yeah, I was getting nervous as well. But yeah, she tries to lock... what's her name? Nima in the bathroom. She goes and rage shits.
Yeah.
In a bowl.
And then she, like, puts it on Nima's face or tries to and, like, smudges it on the window. It's disgusting.
It is so gross. So finally, like, and there it harkens back, ooh, vocab, to there's an earlier scene in the film where in the middle of the night they're taking the dog.
Oh, yeah.
Sergio's dog out, and, like, Sergio just picks up the dog poop in a bag, and she's kind of, like, swinging it around, and, it, like, she's pretending to swing it in Nima's face, and Nima's like, oh my god, that's so disgusting. And Sergio's trying to make a point of her being, like, so, I don't know, I don't want to say melodramatic or anything, but she's so, like, concerned about, like, the state of affairs in the world.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's scarier right now?
Yeah.
The global warming or the shit. And she's like, right now, the shit.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of like she uses that.
And yeah.
There's a little, you know, poop connection. Gross.
Yeah. There's a lot of poop. And yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
There's some duck butter, I guess.
Or truffle butter.
Truffle butter.
Look it up.
There's no truffle butter.
There's no
in
truffle
this.
Butter. I think. So, I'm, like, terrified of getting pink eye.
Oh, my God. So. I thought about that, too. Because there is a scene where Nima is, like, basically eating Sergio's ass.
So, that
And I was like, oh, my God, Nima, you're going to get yourself sick.
But that and also...
Because I doubt she washed anything beforehand.
Well, and so... Sergio rubs the poop on the window.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
And then they just go into the garage and they have this fight. And
then Sergio's, they're, like, holding hands.
Yeah, they hold hands. She leaves.
And then she touches her face. That's right.
Her face. She touches the doorknob. She touches her bike. It's all poop. Poop
yeah.
hand. That's so
I was thinking
gross.
The exact same thing. Ugh.
Guys.
Yeah.
Don't get pink eye.
Be safe. If you're going to do butt play, just make sure everything's really clean.
Wash your fucking hands.
Wash your butt. Wash your hands. Wash everything. Just be safe,
just,
please.
Oh my god. I don't know. I just like...
Pink eye is not fun.
No. No, I'm like a little superstitious. Do you watch The Office?
No.
Okay. There's a line in there that says, I'm just a little stitious.
Oh.
And that's me. So, yeah, from there, you can see clearly that their relationship is falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, it was falling apart from the beginning. It's just now that it's in shambles.
Total shambles.
Shitty shambles on the floor.
Shitty shambles on the floor. I feel like this should have been called the Adventures of... Adventures and Emotions of Sleep Deprivation.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of this could have been solved, or at least spread out over probably like a relationship of 6 months, if they just slept. But then again, just get it over with because it was never going to work out.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So, overall, what do you think of this film?
Well, I would say I'm still an Alia Shawkat fan.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Definitely. I love her, but I did not love this movie. It was hard to watch. I think there were things I appreciated about it, like, I don't know, I thought some of the sex scenes were pretty realistic, and I don't know, the girls are cute, I guess.
I also like that they didn't have sex on the hour, necessarily. Uh-huh. Like, if they didn't want to, they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, towards the end, they just didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Which I thought was... good, because you shouldn't have sex because you feel obligated.
Right, yeah, yeah, totally. That's a good point.
Some, like, that was one of my first fears, that I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of intense stuff.
Yeah, for
happening.
Sure. I actually thought, I had the thought right before this scene, I was like, one of these times, like, they're just not going to be able to anymore. They're going to be spent. And then there was that scene where Nima was like,
I just can't.
She's like, I can't. Because I think Sergio was going down on her or something. And she's like, are you okay? And Nemo was like, it's too much. Like, I can't.
Like, she was like, I've already come too many times.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But
I think also, like, I kind of want to say something about how this movie portrays mental illness. But I'm not sure if it's, like, the greatest portrayal.
It exists, but it doesn't necessarily, like... I don't know, it doesn't, like, target it, it doesn't really emphasize it.
No.
But mental illness is definitely there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's...
In Sergio and in Nima.
Yeah, absolutely, it's definitely...
Nima's obviously got a lot of anxiety and depression.
Uh-huh.
Sergio's probably bipolar.
It's, like, super... Yeah, they don't really talk about it. I think it's sort of supposed to be taken as, like, you know, a typical millennial experience, or it's like
these kind of, no, you're right,
these kind of like whimsical manic pixie emotions, when that's not necessarily the case. And even if they weren't having this incredibly emotional journey in 24 hours, like, I don't know, I can't imagine their lives are super peaceful, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you're right, it is like, this kind of story is like very pinned to millennials.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, it's kind of like how millennials are seen, I feel like.
Yes, yeah.
That we are indulgent, that we just do whatever we want. We expect things. We feel like we should be catered to. And unfortunately, that kind of like, yeah, this movie emulated that.
Yeah.
I did not like that part.
No, me either.
Because I work fucking hard. I can't depend on anyone. I've built myself up from nearly nothing. I did have a very privileged, like, life as a kid. but as I got older, like, it did not turn out that way. And there are some things that I am still very privileged to have, but, like, I hate that. And I don't think millennials are like that.
No, I think the majority of millennials are, like,
work our asses off.
Yeah. They hustle so much. Because we hustle so much. Like, there's this whole thing with the gig economy and, like, jobs are not what they used to be. The gig economy.
Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, so, like, it's, like, basically working on contract or, like, just getting gigs.
Okay.
You know, like, freelancing or whatever, working for a lot of
different
places.
Like a side hustle, kind of?
Yeah, okay. But, like, you can build a whole career around just...
Just gigging.
For whatever skills you have, like, you can use it to do multiple things for different companies or whatever. And I feel like that's a huge thing for millennials. And it's, and that's not an easy thing. And, but like, the economy is kind of like trending more and more that way to be built on that, which I don't think is a good thing because it means that
it's
like,
unsteady.
You don't have, you don't have health insurance, whatever. And like, that's shitty. And like, I don't know. The other thing is that I think because people in our generation are less afraid to talk about mental illness, that we kind of get seen as self-indulgent in that way, because for older generations, it does seem like mental illness is a weakness.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've actually, a week and a half ago, I was talking with someone at work, and he's an older gentleman, quite old, retired professor. He came to me and he was congratulating me. I just got promoted.
Congrats!
He was congratulating me and he said, "You deserve it, and I love how much you just say what you mean." And I was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Of course I'm gonna say what I mean. Like, I'm gonna say how I feel. I'm gonna say it in a respectful, appropriate way. But why hold back?" And I don't know why that's necessarily part of the millennial generation, but I have no problem, and I think it is probably a testament to my workplace, but I have no problem telling, like, my colleagues, like, "I can't today," you know? It's just like, or like, "I'm super stressed out, super anxious," or something like that, and they will understand, and I don't know why that's, you know, coded to millennials.
Yeah, I think just because we have less fear.
Fearless.
We're basically fearless.
We have nothing to lose. We have so much debt, so we can't lose anymore.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think also part of that, that just reminded me of your economy corner.
Not an economist.
In today's economy. I know numbers. The end. No. yeah, the idea of, like, side hustles, it's because, like, millennials have to.
Yeah.
We have so much debt, like, our base salaries, if we have any, quote-unquote, don't cover it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this movie doesn't address any of that.
No.
I'm just kind of like...
It just kind of goes with the worst stereotypes, like, yeah, that we're overindulgent and too much in our heads, which I don't know, maybe sometimes we are too much in our heads, but I think we're also just more aware of the world because we also live in a world where we have tons of access to information constantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and I think those who feel like they are jilted in some way or have been part of like a marginalized group are more aware of injustices in the world because it affects them. Mm-hmm. So they're, even if it like something like particular doesn't affect them, you know, they're still aware of it. Whereas someone who is like white, cis, straight, well established in their career doesn't really think of these things, you know?
Yeah. But more and more, I think. I think that's changing.
So in general, you did not like it?
I didn't enjoy watching it, I should say.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's the worst movie. Like, no. It was shot well. I think for what it was written well. Had good actors. The actors were really good.
Super good. Yeah, I did really enjoy the acting.
So, I don't know. What did you think?
I said, you should watch this if you like... I think I'm saying her name wrong. Aaliyah Shawkat?
I think it's Aaliyah.
Aaliyah.
Okay, she was on this episode of Query with Cameron Esposito. And it just made me really love her even more. Anyway,
I still need to listen to that one. Anyway, if you really like her, she was also in a movie called, I think it's America.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I mean, I read it. I watched it in college, like for a class. I really liked that one. She doesn't have a big role in it. She plays the daughter of an immigrant.
Okay.
But it's really interesting.
She's often kind of bit parts.
The niece of an immigrant or something. Yeah, she's usually like bit parts.
But she's such a good actor.
Also, I realize like how much, you know, hair and makeup covers her freckles.
I love her freckles.
She has such strong
freckles. I just love them so much.
She's
I love her whole face and her hair.
She's so beautiful. She's so incredibly gorgeous. I also said if you should watch it if you like sort of weird indie films, because this is definitely a weird indie film.
Totally.
It's not, but it's, yeah, it's well done. It's not like badly shot or anything like that, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And I also said you should watch if you want a sexy but not too sexy gay lady movie.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. It's sexy, but then it's not sexy, but.
No, it's not sexy.
Yeah. So there's like, it balances itself out, sort of.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, there are lots of this movie that I think I wish we could address more, because parts of it, and I feel like this is always going to be the case, but parts of it are problematic. There can't be one film that isn't.
No. Life is problematic.
Yeah, life is super problematic. I just like, I don't know, there are parts of it that seemed like a little triggering to me.
What do you mean?
In terms of, like, relationships.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you've ever been in a relationship where, like, you feel like you can't get away, or you feel like you are tied down in some aspect, like, that's,
that's a good thing
to
mention.
Or you feel like you don't have your agency.
Yeah.
So that is something that I found unsettling.
Definitely be aware of that going in.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of, I mean, I think they're kind of like discovering that, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah, what happens when you don't, like, your agency is completely taken away from you and, I don't know.
In an interpersonal relationship like that? Like,
yeah, not completely taken away, but someone definitely.
But it's threatened.
Yeah, someone is threatening it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
Which is interesting because you don't see a lot of that kind of story with queer couples.
No.
It's a lot of hetero couples that go through that and that are, it's portrayed in media and culture, but.
But I think it's a huge part of the gay community, unfortunately. And
I think
a lot of it.
It's humans.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's not an excuse. That's not trying to justify it, by the way.
No, I think specifically for like the queer community, and this is probably changing, but like, a lot of us go through this, like, weird second adolescence.
Yes.
Where it's like we suddenly forgot our feelings and, like, we are 12 again and...
I think it's because... Well, for... I don't... I don't know, everyone's different, but yeah. Because, like, for those of us who couldn't feel mm-hmm. okay being out at that time when we yeah. actually were adolescents, like, you kind of have to go through that again.
Yeah,
when you do feel more comfortable with it and you realize, like, what's happening.
Yeah, because you've almost, like, traumatized yourself mm-hmm. to not feel that way.
Oh, totally.
And it's like, nope, I'm gonna ignore all of those feelings.
Yeah.
And whatever. So when you finally are, when you accept them, you accept a little part of them and you have to kind of engage in the bigger picture, it becomes scary and unreasonable
yeah.
because...
Yeah.
Love unreasonable and those feelings
is a great
aren't.
Word.
Yeah, they're not.
And that's kind of
reasonable.
What's happening here, sort of, except that I don't know if they had any kind of struggle with, like, their identity. It kind of seems like they didn't.
No, they seemed like pretty
yeah, but they
secure.
They seem really adolescent in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I think that's also like that weird millennial.
Yeah,
thing.
You're right.
I don't know. There's just. Yeah, there's a lot to this, and I think that's why it's almost like a perfect indie movie, because there's mm-hmm. so much that you could talk about and, like, so many little elements that, like, they go unexplained, and
yeah,
I feel like we could talk about them all day. Write a paper on it.
Yeah, if you're, like, in film school or something and you want to write a dissertation or whatever.
Yeah, do it.
Pick this one. There's a lot of layers. A lot of little nooks and crannies you could get into. You could analyze the shit out of it.
Gay holes. I'm just
gay holes.
I'm gonna put that in every.
Should change
episode.
The name of this podcast to gay holes.
Gay holes.
No, we shouldn't.
No.
No.
Please no.
I take it back.
So yeah, I think in general, like, was this a good representation of lesbians? In an indie way.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad. It wasn't fantastic.
It treated them as the flawed humans that these characters were.
Yeah, they didn't pretend that they weren't.
No.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought this... I think it's worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, take what you will, listeners. Watch it, don't watch it. Just watch it. No.
Up to you.
Up to you. Yeah, let us know what you think if you do watch it. Email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter @galpalswatch.
Instagram @galpalswatch as well, and well, not the as well part, and and Tumblr @galpalswatchthepodcast, all one word. Yeah
cool.
Thanks for
tuning
in.
Let us know if you do watch this. I'd be curious to hear other people's opinions.
Yeah, especially since it's such a recent
it is really recent yeah
film.
Just came out.
Yeah. All right, so thank you so much for listening. We really love that you are tuning in each week, and yeah have a great
review. Subscribe.
Yes.
I always forget to say that.
Yeah, rate, review, subscribe. We need that so much.
Yes.
All right. And
our millennial lives depend on it.
Yes, please. This is my side hustle. All right. Well, have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Yeah.